This is Akashvani. In the program Spotlight, we now bring you a discussion on Union Cabinet decisions. The participants are Aditi Tandon, political analyst, and Arjun Chaudhary, anchor.
Today, we would discuss about what have been the decisions by the Union Cabinet announced by the Union Minister, Sri Ashwini Vaishnav, regarding the central approval of free fortified rice distribution, development of the National Maritime Heritage Complex in Gujarat, infrastructure development of roads in the border areas of Punjab and Rajasthan. Aditi, a warm welcome to you in the program.
Thank you.
Do tell us about the importance of the cabinet decisions regarding these three key points. How important are these announcements at this time of the calendar year?
Yeah, these are all very significant announcements. And as we know that they cover three important aspects. First of all, you mentioned the program about food fortification, the fortification of normal rice. So this is a very important program basically to enhance the nutritional security in the country. And it mainly impacts women because as we know that national family health surveys have repeatedly shown that the proportion of pregnant Indian women who are suffering from anemia has declined very, very marginally. So even today, around 50% of pregnant women in the country are anemic, and that is a huge challenge. So why are they anemic is the first question. See, in India, we started with the first National Nutritional Anemia Prophylaxis Program way back in 1970. This program was meant for mothers initially. Later on, it was modified to include children aged 1 to 12 years. The plan for mainly women hinged on expectations that women will consume around 100 tablets of iron and folic acid over the first 3 months of their pregnancy. Now, this program years later has failed to deliver. So what do you do in order to handle the anemia burden of the country? A lot of studies were undertaken by the ICMR. And at the time when ICMR was headed by Soumya Swaminathan, who went on to later become chief scientist of WHO, it was actually found that there were various reasons responsible for the failed anti-anemia program. And one of the reasons was the wheat-rich diet of the country. Now, what has happened is that wheat contains certain nutrients, which are called phytates, which decrease the iron absorption capacity of the body. So the ICMR scientists suggested that rice staple diets are very good in order to deal with anemia issue. Because when the comparisons were done of regions, it was actually found that wheat staple states such as Punjab and Haryana showed a higher burden of anemia among women as compared to states such as Kerala, where rice was a staple. So that was the time when the focus shifted towards fortification of custom milled rice. So what are we now doing is we have normal factories out of which custom milled rice is coming. And in those very factories, there are equipments available where you actually manufacture fortified rice kernels, which will have fortification with nutrients such as iron, folic acid, and vitamin B12. These three nutrients make up iron deficiency and make up for basically the anemia burden. So you fortify these rice kernels with these three things, put it in rice. 65% of India consumes rice as a staple, and then you distribute it across through the government program, especially the public distribution system. So that's what the cabinet has done day before yesterday. They've basically said that we are going to enhance the distribution of fortified rice across all government segments, including the Poshan Abhiyan. So it reaches everybody who's to be targeted. Mainly the program will target younger women and pregnant women.
So speaking about distribution via PDS, the public distribution system, the commitment from the production and distribution side is for 5 years. You're talking about July 2024 till December 2028 with a financial outlay of 17,000 crore rupees. We're talking about a four-year plan from the government's side. What is the likely impact on the budget?
See, the total financial implication of this program is estimated at around 18,000 crore from July 2024 to December 2028. And it is 100% centrally sponsored scheme, so there will be no state component. And this particular pilot was started in 2022. And first, it covered the Integrated Child Development Scheme and the PM Poshan program. PM Poshan is an enhanced version of the midday meal program that used to exist before. After that, a year later, in 2023, it was further expanded 212 aspirational districts, plus 250 other districts which have high stunting incidence. And a year later, then more districts were added. And now the decision has been taken because successful dispersal of fortified rice has been achieved through the pilot phases from 2022 to 24. The government now feels that it is time to universalize the program and to actually expand it right until 2028. As many as 925 fortified rice manufacturers with a capacity of 111 lakh metric tons per annum of fortified rice are ready. So basically, this is the groundwork on which the government is basing this approval of the cabinet.
Could you tell us something about the success of the Pradhan Mantri Garib Kalyan Ann Yojana?
Pradhan Mantri Garib Kalyan Ann Yojana, as we know, is already benefiting 80 crore citizens. And it has undergone two significant phases of expansion and it continues to run. And the Prime Minister has promised that this free ration scheme will continue. The reason that the Prime Minister gives behind expansion of this program is as much nutritional as it is financial. Around 25 crore people have come out of poverty. And if you keep supporting them with free ration, then they are mentally free to invest in other economic activities, and it empowers them further to continue to remain out of poverty, because we know that there are so many debilitating factors that can actually pull people back into poverty. So the idea of the government behind keeping this program ready of free ration to 80 crore citizens is basically to keep them nourished, keep them nurtured, and keep them free so that they can involve themselves mentally, psychologically, physically in other activities that are more gainful. So that's the idea. And it's going on successfully. And the promise is to keep extending it as long as the government thinks it's necessary.
Aditi, do tell us about infrastructure development of roads, which will extend 2,280 kilometers in the border areas of Punjab and Rajasthan. I understand the investment would be about 4,400 crore rupees. How important is this for the national security?
This is a very, very significant program which is being run through the Ministry of Home Affairs. As we know that over the years, our border development has been lagging for various reasons, political or otherwise. Now, what has this government done is, in 2023, they launched a very important flagship program called the Vibrant Village Program, under which the intention is to equip all the border villages so as to ensure that people living in those villages continue to inhabit those regions and do not leave those regions and migrate to cities. What was found in initial reviews when this government came in was that a number of ghost villages had come up along the border. What happens when ghost villages come up? We lose our human intelligence edge over the enemy because there's nobody on the border villages to tell you what's going on. For example, in the Kargil war with Pakistan, we had a clear psychological advantage because we knew what is going on. We had human intelligence on the ground. We knew through local shepherds what the Pakistan people were up to. So we had already gained that psychological edge because of the human intelligence. If border villages are uninhabited, then what do? You lose that advantage. That is the rationale behind equipping border villages with all kinds of infrastructure facilities. For example, you have to ensure that the houses have water, they have electricity, there are schools all around, there are health and other telecom connectivity facilities. So what the cabinet has approved now is basically construction of around 2,280 kilometers of roads in border areas of Rajasthan and Punjab, which share the border with Pakistan. And we know our relations with Pakistan, what is their status. What this program will essentially achieve is rural livelihood will be enhanced, travel will become easier, connectivity with the rest of the highway network will be ensured, and the villages on the border will remain vibrant. People will continue to inhabit those villages. And these are the people who are important inhabitants and who are part of the larger human intelligence network should push come to shove with the enemies.
So we are talking about logistical deployment of our forces and, of course, surveillance via human intelligence. What about preventing infiltration and illegal immigration?
When you fortify your border villages, you proportionately decrease the chances of infiltration because people normally infiltrate in uninhabited areas. For instance, the problems that we have faced along the LAC with China in eastern Ladakh have been primarily arising out of the fact that there is no development on the borders. It's only now that border development in that sector has started. Similarly, if you look at Uttarakhand, you have around 50 to 100 border villages that are ghost villages that used to have people at one point of time, but nobody is residing in those places anymore. And we have borders with China in that area. So the idea is to have a reverse migration from cities back into border villages. And for that, you have to develop border villages. That is why the cabinet is committed to continue to expand its financial aid for fortification of all border villages of the country.
The development of the National Maritime Heritage Complex in Lothal, Gujarat, which also includes a lighthouse museum. I understand their contributions from major ports, the Indian Navy and the Ministry of Culture. There seem to be benefits generating from this development with 15,000 direct and indirect jobs, and tourism overall would benefit from this project. What's your take on this development?
See, this is a very ambitious project of the government. Heritage has been given priority by this government. We have seen a number of such projects in the new parliament. We have seen how several galleries have come up where the rich constitutional heritage of the country, the rich pluralistic heritage of the country has been displayed for anybody who visits the new parliament building. So this is a continuation of that particular thinking. What makes this very interesting is that this is the first major national maritime heritage complex. In fact, this is also the first time we are hearing that we actually have such a rich maritime heritage in our country, which dates back to around 4,500 years. One has learned recently that there was a naval commander to Chhatrapati Shivaji named Kanhoji Angre. So, you know, Cholas and Pandyas in their times used to maintain large naval and merchant fleets. Also, merchant ships from Orissa used to travel all the way to Sri Lanka, Bali and Java way back. So India's shipbuilding capacity, India's merchant fleet maintenance capacity was well known across the world several years ago. And obviously, it's a lost heritage that the government is now trying to revive through this National Maritime Heritage Complex at Lothal. Now, what's the significance of Lothal? It's a very important city. It dates back to the Harappan civilization, 2400 BC. And it used to have shipbuilding facilities, merchant fleet maintenance facilities. And the purpose of reviving the National Maritime Heritage Enterprise in Lothal is that Lothal was a very important heritage complex of the Harappan times. So that is the importance of this project. Significant part of this project will be that it conceives building the tallest lighthouse museum in the world. So what will happen is it will not just attract tourists interested in maritime heritage of India locally and domestically. It will also be a major project worldwide. And the idea is to attract tourists from across the world and to basically resurrect, you know, the lost maritime heritage of India. Like India was a world leader in various sectors, and this is just one of them.
Well, Aditi, these are the three major decisions that the Union Cabinet has announced. Thank you so much, Aditi Tandon, political analyst, for being with us on Akashvani and giving us your extensive viewpoints on the important cabinet decisions on the free fortified rice distribution, the development of the National Maritime Heritage Complex, and infra development on the border areas of Punjab and Rajasthan. Thank you.
Thank you.
You were listening to a discussion on Union Cabinet decisions. The participants were Aditi Tandon, political analyst, and Arjun Chaudhary, anchor. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashvani. You can listen to it on our mobile app, News on AIR. This program is also available on our YouTube channel, News on Air Official. You may share your feedback about this program through email at airnsdtalks@gmail.com or WhatsApp on 9289094044.